This is Will Friedle from Pod Meets World. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music, totally rad. The fashion, so fly. Home decor, that's a different story. In HGTV's new competitive series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good Wednesday morning. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing, and Munson having to do a lot of extra work there to put that all together because the Predators just kept scoring goals last night, boys. Off to their second game in a four-game road trip here, of course, in the Eastern Conference. They're off to Ottawa. They're off to Canada now. And they got Boston, obviously, with a huge one coming up. But you go into the Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, on Monday night, and you score five goals, even if two of them were an empty netter, and it wasn't exactly the prettiest game. Doesn't matter. You take your five goals and your 2 points, and you head out to Long Island, and you score eight goals.
I thought they was playing in front of Oprah.
Eight goals.
You get a go. You get a go.
I think 12 different players got points last night. You had... Like, I mean, name an important Predator. Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis. Point and assist. Everybody gets in on the action. It's really strange. So, I love the Eastern time zone starts because I told you guys this. The little girl gets to watch a little of the hockey, right? Mm-hmm. I like it when Marin gets to watch a little hockey. She gets... It makes it easier to put the other one to bed because I can say, hey, go downstairs, Marin, watch a little Preds. The Preds are on. You get to watch them. I'm going to put Bennett to bed. Then I'll come back down and we'll watch a little hockey, right? We sit down on the couch for like our 30-minute father-daughter bonding time watching the Preds. And I go upstairs to put, you know, to put one of them down or whatever. I go upstairs to check on some. I can't remember what it was. I went upstairs to handle a child of some sort. And they were down 3-1. And I'm going, oh, God, here we go again. Here we go again. Mm-hmm. I come back downstairs, and it was like 5-3, like 25 minutes later. And I'm going, what happened was, and they had scored four consecutive goals, and then it just didn't stop. It kept going, and you now have 4 points in a road trip in the first two legs of this swing. You've got games in hand, and you picked up 4 points. What a night for the Nashville Predators.
That was a colossal breakdown by the Islanders. I mean, to be up 3-1 and to, after that, seven unanswered goals, that's a colossal breakdown. But, you know, credit the Nashville Predators and what they were able to do. You talked about yesterday the big guys. They need to play big. The guys that are making the most money. The guys that you look to be the game changers in this situation that the Preds are in, they need to play. They need to affect the game positively moving forward. And they did. That's a game where they affected the game positively moving forward. And then the other guys that you need to step up to pick up the slack, they also picked up the slack. So this was a really good win. It's alarming that you go down 3-1, after a period.
Especially with one of them being a shorthanded goal.
Exactly. But, you know, that shows you that team regrouped. They understood that, you know, we can't continue to, you know, dig ourselves in a hole and not climb up out of it. They were able to, like I said, they were able to score seven unanswered and, you know, send the Islanders home. And now they got a chance to, you know, stack points on top of points here.
And that's not a joke of a team, a seventh place team or an eighth place team or a sixth place team or a team out of the wild card. That is a 46 point team that was 22-7-2 coming into that game, mm-hmm. one of the best records in the NHL, and you went in there and dropped an eighth spot on them in their building. And, you know, Barry Trotz does not – his team's – you know, we know what he's all about, right? He's going to play great defense.
Defense.
Yeah. So for them to do that – and it's weird. It reminded me of the Dallas game on Saturday night at home where, first of all, Craig Smith, the guy needs to get going, and he does pick up two goals last night, and he gets things started with a nice snipe in the first period. They go up 1-0. Just like in Dallas, they're up 1-0 going into the second period, and then they give up four goals to Dallas in the second period, and we're just going, oh, my God, what the hell just happened, right? Like, you got punched in the face, and everybody's got a plan, right, mm-hmm. until they get punched in the face. And then they couldn't recover at the end of the second period into the third period, and the Dallas Stars won the game easily on Saturday night. This sort of started to play out that way. Whatever this team is doing in the first intermission, I don't know, lately, it's not working. Because they got boat raced against Dallas in the mm-hmm. second period. They came out, and the Islanders scored 3 minutes into the second period, 5 minutes into the second period, 8 minutes into the second period. All of a sudden, you give up three straight goals, mm-hmm. and you're going, oh, my God, this is going to be Dallas again. So, again, I go upstairs to put Marin to bed or whatever, and I come back downstairs, and Philip Forsberg has a monumental power play goal. I think that's the most critical one, 27 seconds left mm-hmm. Or later. After they give up the shorthanded goal to go down 3-1, Forsberg comes back. He is the most talented player on the team. It's okay to ask for him to be the guy that needs to carry you right now during this tough patch.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows up with a huge goal in a huge situation on the power play. Then Craig Smith comes back a couple of minutes later and gets his goal. Nick Bonino, Rocco Grimaldi, it starts to snowball. All of a sudden, it's 5-3 going into the third. And then you continue. You keep your foot on the gas. Cale Yarncroke, Roman Josi, Ryan Johansson all get goals in the third period. And it's the big names. It's okay to say Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, Victor Arvidsson is out right now. You guys need to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the big names last night make big plays when we needed it, especially Philip Forsberg with 30 seconds after going down 3-1. He comes right back. And in hockey, it's weird. In football, it takes more time for momentum to swing, I think. I guess a pick six can do that. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, the Firkser play for the Titans. But in hockey, it's like if you can answer in that first minute or two, it almost completely stops the other team's momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Forsberg's goal was huge last night.
Yeah, and they're going to need that. They're going to continue to they're going to have to continue to rely on that. Guys – stepping up and going over and beyond. If indeed they're going to dig themselves out of this hole, it's going to take some, extraordinary team play, consistent and extraordinary team play by the Predators to continue to, work themselves out of this hole. And the good part about it is that you have time. It's a long season and you hadn't even got to the halfway mark. So, if you can continue to not put yourself down 3-1 early, but if you continue to, just methodically play good hockey and your big name guys, your marquee guys continue to play as such, and then the Rocco Grimaldis and Nick Bonino's, guys like that, continue to affect the game in a positive way as they have been doing, then they're going to dig themselves out of this hole. Now, where does it end up? I don't know. But if those guys continue to play the way they played last night, meaning the second period and the third period, then I can't see a reason why they don't dig themselves out of a hole.
I mean, the thing with this team, it felt like for the last couple of years, has been where is the secondary scoring? How are they going to find secondary scoring? Cale Yarncroke and Nick Bonino are 1-2 on the team in goals. Those are not the two guys that are supposed to be 1-2 on the team in goals.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing because what you're doing, and Rocco Grimaldi has been on a tear lately. Yeah. I just think his effort and Arvidsson-ness, is that a thing? His Arviness?
Arviness.
His Arviness.
Yeah.
He's got so much of Arvi, and not because he's small, but that's a part of it.
He
reminds you of Arvidsson when you play, but it's the effort, right? It's the energy.
Exactly.
It's every shift, every single time. He's doing something to affect the play in a positive way. And he scores his fifth goal last night. He's got 16 points on the season. Listen, Nick Bonino's leading the team with 13 goals. Forsberg, obviously, is got 12. Cale Yarncroke's got 12. Roman Josi's got 10. So if Nick Bonino and Cale Yarncroke and Roman Josi are three of your top four goal scorers, you've got secondary scoring. Like, that's as good a secondary scoring as you could possibly ask for. Now, do I expect Nick Bonino to continue to shoot at 21% for the year? Probably not. Is it reasonable to expect Cale Yarncroke to shoot at 16% for the rest of the year? Probably not. But I expect Philip Forsberg's number at 12% to maybe come up a little bit. You look at Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson, they need to put more shots on net. The two of them, by the way, 121 combined shots for Duchene and Johansson. Roman Josi has 118. So Duchene and Johansson have like three more shots combined than Roman Josi does. Mm-hmm. That needs to change a little bit. I need to see more from Duchene. $16 million a year for those two guys. Yeah. They need to put the puck on the net a little bit more. And I know Duchene's dealing with some stuff. But the point is, big picture, I think the secondary scoring is a good thing because it means you feel like you know that the big guys are going to come around at some point.
Well, they're going to have to. They're going to have to, and you're right. The Duchene's of the world, he has to step up. That's, you know, not to say that he's playing horrible, but if you are the highest paid player on the team or one of the highest paid players on the team, it's inexcusable for one guy to almost outshoot two guys that are being paid that much money that are considered players on his team, like big-time players.
And I know
Yossi's
a special offensive talent, but he's still a defenseman.
Exactly. Absolutely. So can we...
He ain't Brent Burns, all right? Brent Burns shoots like 400 times a season.
Can we, as an attribute, can we now put in Arviness as an attribute?
Like on the Madden?
Yeah,
or
on
like
the Madden. Like
NHL,
Arviness, yeah.
NHL 2020.
Everybody has Arviness. How much Arviness do you have in you? That should be an attribute. At least for the Predators, so.
And Matt Duchene has 1 point in his last eight games, and that was a goal against Buffalo. So 1 point in his last eight games. I think it's fair. I know there was something weird. Maybe he got banged up in the first. I think it was either the first or second period against the Rangers, and he kind of had left a little early. But he's played 17 minutes last night. Two shots on net. I mean, he affects the game because he's so talented. So it's not always in the score sheet, but for $8 million a year, you need more than 1 point in eight games.
Like, yeah.
So Duchene, Johansson, Forsberg, without Arvidsson, you guys need to pick the slack up and carry this team because all the secondary scoring is happening. Now, Craig Smith also needs to get going. Last night was a great sign, two goals for him. I mean, at this stage of the season, Craig Smith having two goals coming into last night is just unacceptable. And for him to get a couple on the net last night, I think that's a big statement and a big step in the right direction for him. And we'll find out what he does the rest of the way. So I did think there was an interesting comment from Nick Bonino about what last night meant to this team. Maybe this team is putting a little bit more focus on this road trip than we thought. Not that they don't always focus on every game, but it seems like this team was circling the wagons a little bit going on this road trip. And Nick Bonino had some interesting thoughts after the game. So we'll hear what he had to say. The leading scorer for your Nashville Predators. We'll be right back, and we'll hear from Nick Bonino after the big win last night, 8-3 over the Islanders, now 2-0 on the road trip. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
I think we, just not to get too excited about it. Like you said, we've had a couple wins here, a couple wins there, but we never really put together, I guess, a longer streak. So I think we just look at these two games, learn from them, get confidence off of them, but, put them behind us because now we got to go into Ottawa and we got Boston still left in this road trip. So we got to focus one game at a time and hopefully to keep putting together the full 60 minutes. I thought everyone tonight contributed and did a great job, and that's what we need. We need all 20 guys each and every game. That's what we did tonight, and that's what we got to do against Ottawa.
We talked about it. This is a big week. Season-defining week, maybe. You take two of the first four. We'd love to get all four, obviously, but just to start with two is big. It's tough not to look at the standings right now. Got some games in hand, so these back-to-backs are always huge when you're banging two out at once. So it's big to get four. Now we go to Ottawa.
Rocco Grimaldi first. More importantly, Nick Bonino second there. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing. And that was Nick Bonino, that second cut there, talking about what could be a, quote, season-defining win and how it's hard not to look at the standings. He is your leading goal scorer. He's one of the older players on the team as far as actual experience and age. He is not one of your highest-paid players. He does not play on the top two lines, but he does all of the dirty work. Nick Bonino, in that cut right there, shows as much leadership as I've seen from any Nashville Predator all season long because he's willing to say something that we all know. This is one hell of a huge week, and that you guys should be paying attention to the fact that you're 11th in the standings, and I think that shows tremendous leadership for him to come out and say things. I love the honesty. Because hockey players are like Belichick. Like, hockey players are like baseball players, for whatever reason, will just say whatever they want. I don't understand why baseball managers and players get to do, like, they just are so open with the media. I guess it's because baseball people just, I don't know. It's just a weird phenomenon in sports. But hockey players generally are very, because the season is so long, you can't get too high, you can't get too low after a game. Generally, hockey players are just like, yeah, we won 8-1, and you know, we played pretty good hockey and executed and forecheck, and well, we lost 8-1, and we didn't execute, and we didn't forecheck, and we didn't play good hockey. Like, it's almost all the same, right? No matter what happens. I like hearing a player say, we circled this week on the calendar. It is a season-defining moment for us, because you can't help but look at where we are in the standings and be disappointed. And I'm the leading goal scorer on the team, one of the veterans. I'm going to say it. And we got 2 points. Now we've got 4. Now we're going to Ottawa. I love that from Nick Bonino.
Yeah, I mean, eventually you have to be honest with yourself. And a team has to be honest. This is not where we want it to be. This is not where we should be. And we need to kick it in gear. There's no excuses. If we want to be one of the final, you know, 8 teams in, what is it? 8 teams going to the playoffs, the 7 teams, 8 teams going to the playoffs within your, they're in the Western
Conference.
Conference. Then they need to kick it into gear. And it's not the end of the world, but when a guy that we always talk about, you know, skins on the wall, cachet, guys that can go into a room and say certain things. Well, he's one of those guys. Why? You look at the way he's been playing. He gives it 100% every time. And, you know, he's afforded the luxury of coming out and saying, hey, listen, this is an important week for us. If y'all don't realize that, something's wrong. This is an important week, month for us in order to try to dig ourselves out of this.
And what's interesting is he's not doing it sort of on, like, a lot of times you'll hear NFL players and even PK Subban to some degree during the Winnipeg series, where he would say, hey, listen, we're going to go up to Winnipeg and we're going to win.
Yeah.
There's sort of like this pre stuff where you're like, before the week you're saying this stuff, mm-hmm. and you're trying to rally the troops. This is sort of, to me, what's interesting about this is this is more of reflection about what took place while you're in the middle of, while it's happening. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like, it's one thing for a guy to go to the media and use the media to motivate the rest of the locker room, right? Like, you, mm-hmm. before a big game or before a good big week, you say something like, hey, the guys need to do something here. We need to blah, 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 rally the team, you know, whatever. It's another thing to sort, like, to me, what he's saying is reflective of how everybody in the locker room is feeling. Like, to me, that's more of a, I'm letting you in on how we're viewing this week in the middle of it. Not beforehand to try to publicly motivate people, but sort of like, just sort of a nonchalant, like, hey, this could be a season-defining week for us, which means they realize that. As a team and in the locker room, they realize that in the middle of it, as opposed to, like, this isn't a guy coming out and trying to motivate a team before something big, right? Mm-hmm. Which we've seen plenty of times from players in every sport. This is more of a, hey, we're right in the middle of this whole thing, and it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, they gotta kick it into gear. I'm just looking at their next 4 or 5 games. So they play the best team in the Atlantic, the worst team, one of the worst teams in the Atlantic. Yeah. They're right above the Red Wings.
So they got Ottawa and then Boston on the road.
Then they got Arizona, which is the top team in the Pacific.
If you buy the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, if you smell what the Rock is cooking. And then they have Pittsburgh. So this five-game stretch, whatever it is, it's key because they got to pick up points, man. And they can do it against two of the best teams in the league, Boston and Arizona. Now, again, you know, the points can't be deceiving with Arizona and whatnot. But, you know, you're going against two of the best teams in the NHL in Boston and Arizona. And then you have, you know, two teams that are not as good the next four games. So you need to take advantage of that. You need to take advantage of playing some of these teams that are not good. These are the teams that that from a personnel standpoint, you are better than. Now, whether you go out there and get the win is a different story. But you are better than some of these teams. And you can play on par if you do the things necessary with the Bostons, with the Arizonas.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then you're going to lose as you have, you know, at the beginning of the season. So this stretch of games ending the month of December and headed into
the Winter Classic.
Exactly.
That's right.
It's going to be critical, man, because you got a shot at, you know, picking up some points and moving up the standings.
So they do have games in hand. You heard Bonino say that. So when you pick up 4 points in a back-to-back, you're not only gaining games on people, but you got to get those points. They do move up to ninth place.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to monitor this every morning. We're going to come in here and go, hey, 11th place, 12th place, 9th place. You're up to 9th place.
They moved up 2 spots?
They moved up 2 spots. They passed Minnesota, and they jumped Vancouver. Again, it's all very, very fluid at this point in the season. But the point is they no longer – it doesn't look as bad when you pull up the standings. You know, 12th place a couple of days ago. Well, you pick up 4 points in 2 days, and all of a sudden you're back in ninth, and you're chasing down that wild card spot. So, listen, they got a long way to go. There's a lot of season left to go. There's no real reason to overreact one way or the other, but it was a really nice 13-goal span in New York on their New York swing there from Madison Square Garden out to Nassau Coliseum, and now they'll head to Ottawa. And, of course, back again with Boston. So two huge games to finish up the road trip. Let's see what it looks like at the end of those four before they come home for a couple of big games against Arizona and then two with Pittsburgh to wrap up before we head to the Winter Classic. All right, 1025 underscore MD. That is the Twitter account you need to know, at 1025 underscore MD. And Derek and I have already argued about this twice the last 2 days. We will not argue about it on the show, because I don't want to be like every other radio show in the history of the world. We will not discuss Die Hard.
But I had confirmation yesterday.
Now, see, you're trying to goat me here, and I'm not going to take the bait with this.
I got confirmation now.
You didn't get confirmation of nothing.
Yes,
stop. I told you we're not going to do this.
Wikipedia is right, okay?
I can go, you know, I can go
100%
in and,
of the time.
You know, I can go in and change Wikipedia right now. I'm going to do it during the break. I'm going to change it. All right, at 1025 underscore MD. Your most unpopular Christmas take. It literally could be about anything. Whatever it is, but something that you know is very different from what everybody else thinks. Your most unpopular Christmas take. Something that you genuinely feel that is probably very unpopular.
Do we want to give ours at the break?
I'm going to have to think about it, because everything I do is popular. So. Actually, literally nothing I've ever done is popular. I'll give you my most. We'll give you ours eventually throughout the course of the show. I need to think about it a little bit. I wasn't expecting to be asked that question. I just wanted to ask.
Y'all know mine, and I've said it before. So, but we'll discuss it.
Yeah. We got to be delicate with that one.
Yeah.
So at 1025 underscore MD, the winner, we will decide the best or worst. I haven't decided yet. Most unpopular Christmas take. And tweet at 1025 underscore MD. And the winner today, of course, will give it away at the end of the show like we do each and every day. This week and last, $100 gift card to A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. The great folks at A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa giving away a $100 gift card to just treat yourself every single day. Yes, last week and this week. Your most unpopular Christmas take at 1025 underscore MD. Have I said it enough time, Munson? Do I need to say it again?
Just one more time for the people in the back of the room.
Can you hit me in the back? At 1025 underscore MD, the most popular Christmas take that you have. Tweet us. The winner will get a $100 gift card. I have a very unpopular take in general about a recent story concerning Nashville. And I will try to explain that when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Preds win last night 8-3 over the Islanders. That's a very good Islanders team with Coach Trotsy. They went into the Nassau Coliseum and put up an 8th spot. 7 unanswered goals. They win 8-3. They pick up 4 points in 2 games against 2 New York teams, and things feel like they're pointed in the right direction again. But again, that ship changes direction awfully quickly in the NHL. So a huge win last night, 8-3 for the Nashville Predators. Don't miss tonight's Smashville Live featuring WWE star Eric Young. We will be in Murfreesboro at Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant located at 114 North Church Street. And the show starts at 7 p.m. A limited number of autographs or pictures will be available, so be sure to get there early. Smashville Live is brought to you by our wonderful sponsors, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Marquise, I know Chase McCabe will be hosting that show. Did you help Chase McKay prepare for this interview with WWE star Eric Young, since you guys are such wrestlers?
Well, I don't need to prepare Chase McKay for anything, because he's a constant professional, so I don't have to help him with anything.
And a consummate professional as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Constable. When
he's the constable and a constant professional, as well as a consummate professional, and watch out when he's wearing his badge.
Exactly.
He feels very... He feels a little froggy when he's got that badge. It's a little weird.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't need to help him.
Leap far, though?
You know, like my daughter's into Toy Story right now, big time? Woody has that little badge on. I feel like that's the constable sometimes.
Which one?
Woody's the same character in all of them.
No, I'm saying which Toy Story does she like? One?
Well,
two?
We got her started with one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not taking her to the theater to watch Toy Story 4, but you know the little badge Woody wears? The little badge? I feel like sometimes that's the constable with his body parts flailing around and like his little badge.
Yeah, that could be.
No? Too much? But he's going to be perfect for tonight's Smash Mouth Live. I can't wait to listen. It's going to be great tonight at 7 o'clock out in Puckett's in Murfreesboro. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And Marquise is right. You don't have to prepare Chase McCabe for a WWE interview.
Yeah, you don't, man. That's like a cakewalk for Chase McCabe, man. Yeah.
Easy money.
It's like Christmas, man.
It's going to be a fun show. So
wait a minute.
So check that out. All right. So, listen, I know I'm cynical. I know I'm like Johnny,
But I'm with you on this one.
I don't believe everything, you know. Like, I believe people are... I believe that humanity is positive and good, but sometimes I just think when I look at things that happen in this country, I'm just like, of course that's what happened. Like, that's the worst thing that could have happened. Anyway, so I'm kind of cynical, and I get that, and so I apologize to everybody. But so when I saw the headline, I this is my problem in life. Mm-hmm. My first thought was not, oh, that's awesome, that's amazing, congratulations. And it needs to be. When I saw the headline,
you're skeptical.
When I saw the headline from the Sports Business Journal, which is a national publication, that Nashville, Tennessee was named the best sports town in 2019, my first reaction should have been, oh, hell yeah. Way to go, Nashville. Really cool for us. Great job. Credit to the Predators. Credit to the Titans. The NFL draft that came here in 2019. MLS coming in 2020. You've got the Sounds up there, First Tennessee Park, having a great time, a great venue to go watch a game. You know, Vanderbilt not really carrying its weight here, except for the baseball team won a national title, so I guess you got to give some credit for that for sure. And I'm thinking, oh, these are all fantastic organizations that, and listen, it's earned the right to be named America's best sports town. But the cynic in me, and it's almost a huge credit to the Nashville Predators. Because the Nashville Predators really are the only one of that group that truly can say, hey, we are one of the best franchises in the NHL. We have one of the best buildings in the NHL. We have some of the best fans in the NHL. Mm-hmm. We got the sellout streak. We are winning division championships, which, of course, they won last year in 2019, the back half of the season. Like, to me, the Predators are carrying their weight on this.
Of course.
Like, no question. To me, part of the reason that this city would even be in the conversation is because of the Nashville Predators. But the Tennessee Titans struggled to sort of connect with their fans. The uniform unveiling was 2018. The NFL draft is a huge part of this decision by Sports Business Journal to name us the number one sports city in America. But most of the money, the $133 million that rent generated, and most of the whatever 600,000 people that were here weren't from Nashville.
No.
Now, does Nashville get credit for drawing them in? Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. 100% they do. It just struck me as odd that we were the best sports city in America in 2019. I don't feel like... I'll take the credit. I'll take it. It just... If I'm sitting in another market, I'm kind of going, really? Nashville? Like, their NFL team doesn't go to the playoffs. Their college team isn't very good. You know, the Preds are amazing, but what else do they really have? And MLS hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, I look at it from the Business Journal... You got to understand, it's the Business Journal.
That's exactly. That's true. They're looking at it from a business standpoint.
It was a 79% increase, from 2018.
Talking about the draft?
Yeah, the draft from Dallas. So
revenue increase.
It went from 74 million to 224 million, I believe. An increase over $125 million. So they're just looking at it solely based upon income, profit. What city garnered the most profit in a year or 2 year span, whatever it is. And yes, from that, if you're using those that criteria, yes, Nashville is the tops. But when you think of Sports City, the first 15 to 20 you think of is not Nashville, probably. If you're just thinking of a sports silly city, like people say, well, where am I going to go to just watch some good sporting events?
Yeah.
I don't think Nashville is in the top 10 or top 15.
SEC
now, some people got them, you know, around 20th. A lot of other, when you're just talking sports, a lot of other rankings have them somewhere right. in that 20th ranking, somewhere around that. And that's good, too, because there's a lot of cities with a lot of, you know, a lot of sport teams.
No professional baseball team,
exactly.
No professional basketball team, no real, and I'm not trying to knock Vandy here, but, like, there's not a major college athletic program in this city, mm-hmm. outside of, again, Vandy baseball is the premier program
exactly.
in America, but where does that rank as far as, now I get it, the business angle of this is very different because we are a very successful business city,
exactly.
There's no question about the financing of this city, but you know what would make it more successful, like luring in the college football playoff game, the Music City Bowl becoming a college football playoff game, or, you know, like, now I will say this, there were, you know, we're drawing interest from the World Cup, of course, in 2026. You know, you do have the SEC tournament in basketball. So it's spread out over so many different events that I get why financially and from a business standpoint, you name a city like Nashville the best sports city in America. I think when people hear the phrase best sports city in America, they don't think about it from a business perspective.
But
they're thinking about it from a championships perspective.
But you got the caveat is, if you're talking to someone, you got to say, well, the Business Journal ranked them.
Yeah.
Which means it's all about, you know, profit. Who's gaining the most profit within that calendar year or 2 years? Well, it was Nashville. Why? Mainly because of the draft.
Yeah.
You know, because people came in and they spent a lot of money. Here in Nashville.
And the Nashville Predators.
And the Predators.
Are an elite franchise,
exactly.
as far as all those metrics are concerned in the NHL.
And then the Titans, you know.
It's an NFL team.
NFL team. I mean, and then the Titans, however the unveiling, if you liked it or not, it did draw income into the city because they had it out. They did all these events around.
You're talking about the jersey?
Yeah, the jersey.
That's 2018,
yeah,
man.
But that's 2018. But are they lumping that in?
No.
They're not lumping
it
in.
Not supposed to be.
So it's just basically, it's all based on the draft.
Now, the SEC
basketball. All based on the draft.
SEC basketball was great this past year because Kentucky and Tennessee were so good, and they played on that Saturday, mm-hmm. on a gorgeous Saturday afternoon at Bridgestone Arena, which was a great event. That was one of the best basketball games I've ever mm-hmm. been to, was that Kentucky-Tennessee game. So, even now talking through it, I'm almost talking myself back into it now because.
But I could see why it was. And this is why. When as disappointing, I'm not going to say bad, but as disappointing, because it has been disappointing, as disappointing as the Tennessee Titans have been, not necessarily on the field, but how they connect with their fans.
Because if it's from a business standpoint,
exactly.
Tickets are not hard to get.
No, they're not hard to get. You can go to the games.
Yeah, right.
If you want to go to the game last minute, you can walk up and go to the game last minute.
Yeah.
But. If you and you kind of get into this, well, if the city's not going, if the Titans are not going to build their own stadium, then just go somewhere else. Well, if that happens, just remember that $224 million you will never get again.
Yeah, that's,
you know. So even though our football team is not as good as it used to be, that's nothing but an ATM. That's all the NFL is, an ATM. When we've talked about this before. As good as the Predators are doing, and they are the gold standard in how a company from the bottom and then work themselves up and they become elite. They're the gold standard of that, at least what we've seen over the last 10 years.
And how they interact with their fans.
Absolutely.
And create an experience for them. And
no everything. Matter what, if the NFL chooses to do something, if the NFL says, you know what? We're going to take the Tennessee Titans. We're going to move them somewhere else. You will feel the impact.
Huge.
It will be a huge impact that you would feel. We would go from being one of the most desired cities. We would fall very quickly.
Yeah.
So as good as the Predators are doing, and everybody, I think everybody around should look at how the Predators have taken that company, that team, that organization, and how they've done things the right way. Yeah. And look where it has put them. Everybody should model, look at what they've been doing, right, and try to model theirs after that.
And I'm as big of a Nashville homer shill as you'll ever meet. Like, mm-hmm. I love this place so much that I don't want anyone else to move here anymore. Like, I'm like, y'all just, that, whatever the number is now, 80 people, 78 people, 84 people that are moving here
every
day.
It's going down a little bit?
Yeah, it's going down. I don't care. Stop coming. Let's put billboards on, like I-65 South right around, like, Bowling Green. Say, no, Nashville's full. Like, that's how much I love the city. So this isn't coming from, like, an anti-Nashville slant at all. I try to – but if you tell me, like, is Boston a better sports town, the answer is clearly yes. Boston's a better sports town. Chicago's a better sports town. This city tends to leave the party quickly when the party starts to slow down. We've talked about that a lot.
Of course.
When it's the cool thing and it's the hip thing, people show up and they go and it's big time. But then they're – oh, wait a second. Hang on. Billy told me that there's another hot spot over here, and then you leave and you go hang out with Billy, and like that's just the way Nashville always kind of has been because of the music history of the city, and it's just a very cool city.
Well, that's kind of how LA is too. I mean, LA, so many moving parts in LA, right, that once the Dodgers lose, okay, what's the Lakers doing? Okay, Lakers lose, what's the Rams doing? So it's always like that. It's back and forth, and then you know
the Clippers now.
I've kind of actually like talked myself into now being okay with it. Like number one, first and foremost, it's something we all should be very proud of as Nashvillians. I think the Predators, the Titans, Scott Ramsey, the National Sports Council, the SEC tournament, the NFL draft, all the people and the hard work that went into creating all those very successful events and situations, though, you should be absolutely super proud. Celebrate it. It's an awesome award, even if it's just, you know, just some business
owners love it.
Exactly. And the amount of money that people are making off these events is astonishing. So there's nothing to not be proud of. I just, once I started reading about that, I was kind of like, well, but when I think of sports towns, I don't think from the dollar standpoint. But now that we've kind of talked it through, I'm almost more like, oh, okay, cool.
You all can right. understand why.
Yeah, now I've almost changed my own opinion, which is really hard to do in a segment. So it just kind of is what it is, and I think it's a great award, a great testament to the city. But there is one thing, and we've kind of danced around it a little bit. But if you want me to really buy into Nashville being the best sports city in America, there's one thing that needs to happen, and we'll explain when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Today is National Signing Day. What happened to the microphone there? Not your fault, Munson. That was me. That was me. I hit the button on accident. Today is National Signing Day for college football. We'll talk with Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 coming up at 7:30. Should be huge days today for Georgia potentially, as well as a battle for number one. The battle for the number one class in the country is actually an interesting thing that's happening this year, which normally doesn't happen. We'll get back into the Titans here in just a few minutes. Tweet us at 1025_MD your most unpopular Christmas take. And at the end of the show, we'll give away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. But you got to be on the Twitters there, at 1025_MD. Text line is open as well, 615-737-1025. And I do think that there's one other – the next part of this conversation about Nashville as a sports city is not a new conversation. We've had this conversation before. But to me, Nashville cannot reach its potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is a fair question: is do we want to reach that potential? Because I'm assuming there are some Nashvillians that are sometimes like me, where we say no, we don't want to grow anymore. You know, are we willing as a city to spend some money, taxpayer money, to renovate the Titan Stadium or replace the Titan Stadium? Because that to me is what takes the only thing that really takes this city to the next level. Like, I think we've topped out, right? Huge NFL draft. We're a great event city. We can bring in the All-Star Game. You know, Stanley Cup playoffs, we go to the streets and we party like crazy. Soccer's coming here with the MLS starting in 2020. There's a lot of really great things to love about this city from a sports standpoint and from a business sports standpoint. But the thing that truly takes us to the next level is the world-class world events where the entire country and the entire world is paying attention. And that is the college football playoff, the Super Bowl, and the Final Four. And I, it's hard for me to think of us as that big until one of those three events comes here. And I'm not sure you're going to get one of those three events without a major, if not complete, overhaul of the Titan Stadium.
No, you're absolutely right. And then I think that's what's going to, like you said, I think that's what's going to take you to that other, you know, stratosphere, so to speak. Because if you can't get a Super Bowl, you can't get a national championship, you can't get a Final Four, you can't get a, you know, a World Cup game, then you're just...
Yeah, there's another one.
Yeah, you're on the outside looking in. You're great, but then you've reached your ceiling. And unless you blast through it, then you're going to continue to stay. You're going to continue to hover around the outside of the sphere. While those cities that can do it are inside partying, you're on the outside right. looking through the window.
But we are still, clearly the Business Journal has named Nashville the best sports city in America for 2019. Clearly we are a destination city. You cannot argue that. Like,
you're right.
Corporations, you know, conventions, you know, building the Music City Center with the sports that we do have, in particular the Prez sort of carrying this. There's no question that you got the SEC tournament that wants to come here. You know, Scott Ramsey and the guys went after the SEC baseball tournament desperately. As a college baseball nerd, I'd love to have that. I realize that most Nashvillians probably don't care about that, but it's already a destination city. The question is, do we want it to be bigger? Or are we okay sort of being where we are, which is where, you know, I don't want to say niche because that's insulting to the NHL, but it's not the NFL, right? Soccer is a niche sport. I just think that we sort of have this counterculture identity in Nashville. And I don't know if all of a sudden we bring a Super Bowl or a college football playoff or a Final Four, is there a debate? Like, financially, we know it's going to be incredible. It's a windfall for the city, like the draft was. But do we want to continue to grow in that direction? And I think it's a fair question to ask of people in charge, whether they're politicians or executives or whatever. You know, like, does it benefit everyone for us to continue to grow and continue to blossom into this more? And again, let's be honest about the Super Bowl. It's corporate.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to college football playoff games. Very corporate.
Well, I think all of those events are, the basketball.
The everyman, the blue-collar everyman, uh-huh. working-class Nashvillean ain't going to those events. Ain't going
not
to those parties.
They're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not going to the Final Four. You know, they probably can get into the World Cup game, because I think that's just different. They want to be inclusive in that, because there's so many different countries and other people coming in.
And even then, soccer is still kind of counterculture a little bit.
It's kind of a
trendy hip sport or whatever.
Niche sport, but here in Nashville, it's growing because we have a population that enjoys watching soccer. They play soccer at the youth level. They're watching soccer, at the adult age. So we're learning about soccer and we're learning to enjoy soccer. But for the most part, you know, Super Bowls, you know, college football, college basketball championships, they're all corporate.
Like the working class family of four that lives in like Murfreesboro or White's Creek or Hendersonville or Frank or whatever, like they're not coming up to the Super Bowl. They're not coming up to the... Now, Final Four might be different. You might be able to get in because it's such a huge stadium. There's so many tickets that are available.
Yeah.
But again, tickets aren't cheap for that kind of stuff. And college football playoff games, especially if like an Alabama or an LSU or a Clemson or Ohio State's playing in it, there's no mm-hmm. chance you're going to get a ticket to that as a local just trying to like go to the
just
event.
Think... The last year when Duke, and this wasn't a championship game, but when Duke played North Carolina, those tickets averaged, I think, like 1,700, close
That's
to 2,000,
crazy.
If not, averaged. Just think if you have those two marquee teams playing in a national championship, how much those tickets would average.
Yeah, it'd be insane. Joe wants to chime in here. Joe, real quickly on Morning Drive, what's up, man?
Hey, gentlemen, I don't know what kind of magazine that is that would name Nashville as the top sports city, but for someone
Business Journal.
Someone who grew up in a place that probably really is the top sports city. I mean, let's look at it as a whole, and the Predators, got to love the Predators. With this being such a magnet for people moving all across the country, I mean, the Predators have found a way to reel in their fans, but look at the Titans. I mean, empty seats in there on Sunday in a game that was quote-unquote code blue. I mean, fighting for their playoff lives. And then when you look when opposing teams, like when the Bills were here, how many Bills fans were in the stands? come on now. That's just not a good fan base. It's eroded over the years from when you played D-Maze. You know that. But, I mean, you may find 278,000 people that were at the Music City Miracle game, but the fan base is eroded since that point. And as far as the other things you mentioned along the lines, as far as sports goes, D-Maze, you said we're starting to enjoy soccer. Speak for yourself, bro. I don't know anybody who's just enjoying soccer. I mean, it's a great city. It's a great city as far as we know, number one bachelorette destination, people moving here from all over the country. But as far as putting any of our tax dollars toward a new stadium, bro, have you been on 440 lately? Have you been on our interstates? We don't need anything new.
I don't drive on 440.
The fan base doesn't deserve anything more than what they got right now.
Joe, how old are you? I've been
here 15 years. I'm 52 years old. I've been here 15 years. Came up from St. Petersburg, Florida, grew up in Boston, and the same thing was in St. Pete. Everybody loved the Lightning. They weren't really big Bucks fans because people don't want to give up their allegiance to their NFL team, whereas the NHL, as we've talked about before, to see that product live, it's the best. The best sport to see live is hockey. Anyone who doubts that probably doesn't know that much about sports as well.
Good call, Joe. Good call.
Joe, I do want to say this. The NHL
does unite the city way more. Yeah. The Predators have united the city. I don't know how I'll say it. I guess I should repeat it.
Let's say within the last 10 years.
The one sport that brings this city together more than any other sport is the Predators.
Yeah.
It's the one team that everyone thinks is ours. It was born here. It was created here. We saved it. Mm-hmm. It's ours. Whereas, I grew up a Packers fan. Marquise grew up a Raiders fan. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're from Detroit. Like, it's people move here from everywhere else, and they already have NFL fandoms by the time they get here. I disagree with the soccer thing. He's 52 years old.
Yeah.
He's maybe not the target demo there. I think soccer is the fastest-growing sport from a popularity standpoint in this country, and there's a reason MLS is coming, because we have a very young, hip sort of – again, I'm not a part of it, but a young, hip sort of cultural, diverse group of people in this city that want soccer in a big way.
Exactly.
And we'll find out. Maybe it's a failure. I doubt it. I think it's going to work very well because I am now getting more into soccer every day. But I also grew up playing it, and I loved it as a kid, and I love the World Cup. So
yeah, but I understand what Joe was saying. And listen, it's
Boston's got like 13 championships.
We all know Boston's the number one sports city, but the Business Journal was saying strictly from a financial standpoint this past year,
and
Nashville was.
And we crushed.
Yeah.
We crushed. There's no question. The NFL draft crushed. All the people that put that on were amazing. The way the Preds handle their relationship with their fans is amazing. The Titans are sort of the one that just sort of lags behind a little bit. And, you know, outside of that, you know, soccer's not here yet in theory. I know, you know, I'm a huge fan of the USL seasons the last 2 years, obviously. Called some of the games. Loved watching the team. But it's a little different than once it becomes the MLS starting next season. And then the stadium gets built. So we're still a couple years away from that as well. All right, let's get into the Titans when we return. And I got a couple of questions about, number one, the Saints matchup. And number two, is there, you know, Derek, you got to tell me if players still care about this one particular thing. I need to get your thoughts on that. We'll do that when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.